And we started Sunday looking at forbearance or tolerance out of Ephesians 4, verse 2, that we would be forbearing one another in love. And we looked and pointed out the fact that forbearance is the ability to, or maybe I should say the will to tolerate, to put up with, to bear with, to endure someone or something. And in this context, it's definitely a someone. It's a person. And I think it's an important distinction between what I just said. It's an important distinction between thinking about, as Christians, having the ability to do something and having the will to do something. So as a Christian, if the Holy Spirit lives within you, then you do have the ability to be tolerant, to be forbearing. Now, you may need to pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen that ability. You're not a maverick in that. You're not all of a sudden an expert at forbearance or at tolerance or putting up with, but you do have the ability. And so often, the problem is not in the ability as much as it is the will. People that we become unwilling to put up with, and that would be very close to being impatient with, little quirks, nuances, things that are not on the scale of sin or a biblical conviction in the sense of, if I violated this, I would be violating God's word, but quirks that are just on the irritation level. We very quickly lose the will to put up with those kinds of things because we just don't enjoy them. They bother us. They really, what they do, and one of the things that we hate, is they expose just how petty we really can be, just how trite we really can be. And so as we're thinking about this, I think it's important to put the emphasis there on the will if you're a Christian. Also, we'll see that this was not a small matter or a passing matter. There are a couple of extended passages, one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then the entire chapter in Romans chapter 14 and on into 15, all deals with the matter of forbearance. The word doesn't pop up there, but the whole thing is about the church at Rome learning to tolerate one another, learning to be able to put up with the differences that are allowable in God's kingdom through the liberty that they have in Christ, but not using their liberty in a selfish way or in a malicious way. And so these kinds of things can pop up all over the place. Now let me make a little disclaimer here, or let you in on a question that I got. So Sunday afternoon, I had a mom come up and say, "Well, you know, I was convicted by the message on forbearance, and here's my struggle. I have some children who just have filthy rooms, and I try to get them to clean their rooms, and I stay on them, and they just won't, and I'm wondering, is this one of those areas where I should exercise forbearance?" And so now, if you have a filthy room, you're wondering what my answer was. And I said, no, it's not. This is one of those areas where your children should practice honoring their father and their mother. And it's one of those areas where, as a parent, you're teaching your child not to be slothful, okay? So there are biblical principles that are laid out that hit, you know, some of these areas to where you may think you could play the forbearance card every time. On the other side of it is, we don't ever find Scripture using forbearance in the sense of, you ought to be more tolerant of me. It's always the opposite. Paul calls me to be more tolerant of you. Paul calls me to use my liberty to build you up, to edify you. Okay, so liberty, which is connected to forbearance, and we'll look into some of that on Sunday. Liberty is not your wild card to be able to say, I have liberty in Christ, and so that means I can do whatever it is that I feel like is permissible for me to do. That was not the attitude that Paul had whenever Paul laid these things out. And so forbearance is commanded, it's taught, and it's not taught from the sense of you should be receiving more forbearance. It's taught in the sense of you need to be more forbearing. And that's an important distinction to make, because if you spin that thing on its head, then it loses its weight, and that's not how Scripture lays it out. So if you have a dirty room and your parents have never said a word to you about it, enjoy the liberty that you have. But if you have a dirty room and your parents have been on you about cleaning up that pigsty, then you better clean it up. Okay, you can't play forbearance on that. All right. So we looked at a couple of definitions, a couple of ways that forbearance is played out. Number one, we said forbearance is the ability to recognize and appreciate the differences in the fact that God makes each person different. We're not going to go through all that again. The second thing, and this is an important one, is that it's the ability to distinguish sin issues from non-sin issues. And I think this is where the mom that came up was struggling with that question. Hebrews 5:14 talks about those who are mature by way of exercising their senses to be able to determine what is right and wrong. It's a sign of maturity for us to be able to know, to be able to label, to be able to address issues that are sin issues, and then to be able to have the category of thinking in our minds for those issues that are not sin issues. Issues that you know, I could say something about it if I wanted to, but I don't have to, and more than likely it's not really even necessary. It's not an issue that has to be pushed. It's an issue that John Gill and Matthew Henry called was a matter of indifference, not in the sense maybe that we use the word indifference, but just in the matter of, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not gonna make you more holy one way or the other. There may be some good arguments. You might be able to come up with some good points of wisdom, but it's not a biblical conviction type issue. All right. Next, as we move into this, we are talking about non-sin issues, okay? We've talked about the ability to make a distinction. Now, the next definition that we're going to look at for forbearance or for tolerance, it's the ability in a close relationship to distinguish between what we're going to call a swing issue and a fire issue, okay? Let me explain what those mean, or that it won't make any sense. A swing issue is an issue where you could go one way or the other. Okay, it doesn't matter to you. You could swing this way or you could swing that way. It's no big deal. For some of you, it may be. I'm trying to think of a church matter where that might go. Maybe another more common issue is maybe you're out with your friends, or you're out with your spouse or family, and they say, well, where do you want to eat? You want to eat here or there? And, you know, just whatever. I don't care. It's a swing issue. It's not that big a deal. A fire issue is one of those issues that may not be a sin issue, but it's one of those issues that your conscience is pretty wrapped up in. It's not something that you're willing to compromise on. And so one of the ways that that you might think about that, and that we could think about that, is through issues in the church to where people would find, and I have a hard time coming up with the right word as far as conviction. You could call it a sense of conviction, although our convictions have to be rooted in God's word. But, you know, a conviction toward things like recognizing Christmas or acknowledging other holidays that are acknowledged throughout the culture, and then maybe you acknowledge them, maybe you don't. For some people, those are fire issues, okay? It's not necessarily that you condemn every person that would acknowledge that or in some way have their family and celebration with that, but it's just the fact that you're not going to do that. That would be a fire issue, right? That's far different than do you want to eat at Sonic or Hardee's? You know, it's not even close to being the same. Now, the side that makes this helpful as far as the forbearance goes is the ability for you to be able to hold on to those fire issues without condemning everybody else that doesn't see it the way that you see it, if that makes sense, and I think it does. So if you, for instance, if you have a real issue with eating, we can take Romans 14, you know, eating pork. I don't think anybody here has that issue. But if you had a real issue with eating pork and or eating a certain kind of meat, and you just were not going to do that, well, the argument that Paul makes in Romans to a church that was split up between those who were Gentiles and those who were Jews, the argument that he makes is, you know what, you're free to do either one. You're not sinning either way. But do not judge your brother. Do not make this a cause of offense. So the Jew cannot say, oh, you immature Gentiles, you're just not spiritually mature, you just haven't, you're just not holy like we Jews are because you still eat pork or you still eat meat that's sacrificed to idols and you don't even bother to ask about it. A Jew can't say that. And the Gentile can't say, oh, you know, you Jews, you're so immature and so legalistic, you don't even understand the gospel. You think you're bound to not be able to do this. You're not willing to enter into the liberty that the Lord has given you. And the emphasis of that Romans 14 is, look, both are permissible. And the sticky situation, the sinfulness comes in when you decide that you are your brother or your sister's judge in an area that God has not clearly spoken in. Now that can be kind of hard, can't it? We're not doing that with meat and we're not doing that with pork, but that can be done with things like, you know, whether or not you homeschool or not homeschool. That can be done with various standards of modesty. That can be done with all kinds of things. And so there are some areas that are permissible, and you may not want to budge, and that's fine, but it's not worth the unity of the church, right? So let's look at the other first. So swing issues are those issues that are non-sinful, and you have the freedom, biblically speaking, to swing either way or to compromise. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So there are areas in life where we can, in honor, prefer one another. Now, you can't do that if you're talking about a sin issue, right? If I want something and you want something else, I can't decide to prefer you and call that a Christian virtue or call that a development of my Christian character as far as preferring your way, compromising, and doing whatever it was that you wanted to do. But as Christians, if it's not a sin issue, you see, here's where we get into where that focus is, to where the weight of this forbearing is teetering. It's the fact that I am free to be able to prefer you over myself. I'm free to be able to compromise to your preferences over mine. Only we don't think about it that way, do we? I don't think about it that way. I mean, you know, my preferences are what I prefer, right? And if I prefer them, why don't you prefer them? It just makes sense. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Let us therefore follow after, let us therefore pursue the things which make for peace. Again, the ability that whenever we can go one way or the other, and it doesn't really matter, there are those issues that we can do that. And praise the Lord that we can do that. Now, right about now, as I'm thinking about forbearance, and particularly I'm thinking about these kinds of swing issues or fire issues, it's starting to sound a little bit like a premarital counseling type thing. How many times in marriage would a good dose of forbearance have been such a helpful blessing? A good dose of the reality that, you know, this may be the way I prefer it, but I don't have to do it this way. I can go this way. I can swing this way. That would be okay. I can prefer you over me. And it works that way in all of our relationships, obviously. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So the beginning of that verse, follow peace, it really means pursue peace. The word there is pursue. Pursue peace with all men. Again, it's an invitation to be able to acknowledge what those issues are in your life that you could go one way or the other. So, you know, when we think about swing issues, one of the things we could come up with are things like, what songbook do we use? Okay, open vote. Do you like the BB? What is it? The Burgundy Book or the Blue Book? Right. That could get kind of silly, but there are some people that can get pretty passionate about there are some songs in the Burgundy Book that got left out of the blue, and then there are some in the blue that aren't in the Burgundy, and you can get pretty passionate and make your case. It ought to be a swing issue, right? We can pursue peace and sing out of either book. Now, fire issues, on the other hand, again, they may not necessarily be sinful, but it's something that I really do not want to do. It's something that I would, you know, I feel fairly passionate about. My conscience would be compromised for me to do something like this. And we all have those types of issues to where. It may not be completely settled in our mind or in our heart, but there's just something about it that nags us just enough that we don't want to do it. Let me get my verse reference right here. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians. And so for some reason, and we don't know what the reason is, but for some reason, after the Apostle Paul had made these plans for Apollos to go see the Corinthians with the rest of the brothers that were going, something, I don't know what it was, but something came up, and Apollos says, I cannot go. I will not go. I can go at another time, but I can't go now. Now, I don't know what the issue was. It's not worded as if it were a providential hindrance. It says, but his will was not at all to come at this time. So that doesn't sound like he got sick or that he was hindered in some uncontrollable way. He just said, I'm not going. I'm not going. I don't know what that was. I don't know why that was. But it was something that he was not willing to do at the time. And so there are times to where we can, you know, obviously we can do that. And how do you navigate through all that? If it seems kind of muddled and kind of fuzzy as we think through, you know, what would be the right thing to do here and when and all that, well, that's where wisdom comes in, right? Don't you wish in some ways at some times that the Bible did just have a list of things where you could just turn to it and say, oh, that's okay, this is, it's right here. It's right here. It was an inch below the knee. Told you. But it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't. Instead, it calls us to wisdom. It calls us to, and wisdom is, it calls us to be wise in the sense of, I know the issues that God addresses as sin issues. And then I also now know how to navigate through those issues and know when I can prefer someone else over myself without violating my conscience. Number five. Forbearance is the ability to put up with swing issues that you wish were not there in another person. And it's the ability to sacrifice your own desire for his benefit. So, not only do we acknowledge those things, but again, we have to put up with. It's the ability to put up with those swing issues in another person, where we could go one way or the other, but it's we kind of wish that they weren't that way. Look in Romans chapter 15. Verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. I'm going to stop there. But this is what he says, let them which are strong. Well, what's he talking about? Who's strong in this scenario? Well, you got to back up to Romans chapter 14. And Romans chapter 14 gives the two classifications of those believers in Rome who were strong and those who were weak. And the ones who were strong in the sense that Paul is talking about were the ones that had a conscience that was what you would call biblically programmed. They were not being enslaved by non-sin issues. They weren't being enslaved by the idea that I can't eat this pork. They were able to see the liberty that Christ had given them. Now, there was a way for them to handle that, and Paul goes through that, and we'll look at that on Sunday. But those who were weak were the ones who said, I can't do that. I can't eat that. And, you know, you shouldn't eat that either. I can't acknowledge that, and you shouldn't acknowledge that either. Now, that's just what the text says in Romans 14. And so the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. In other words, we ought to be able to handle, to bear with, tolerate, put up with, again, those quirky little things that people have and that people display, ways that they act, things that they do. You ought to be able to put up with them, to bear them. Look in 1 Corinthians 10. Starting in verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Here Paul lays out a very forbearing spirit. And he gives the charge there in verse 32. Don't give an offense. Don't be offensive to the Jew or to the Gentile. But he says, do what I do. Take my example as I seek to follow Christ, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. Now, obviously, Paul was not saying that he was a man pleaser and that he just did whatever it was that men wanted him to do. Paul was very clear in other epistles that it was not his desire to please men in the wrong way, in a bad way. It was his desire to please Jesus Christ. But what he says here, and what he's talking about here, is that where the issue was not a big issue, where the issue was not a sin issue, where it was a preference issue, he says, it's not that big a deal. So what? You can have it your way. I'm not seeking my own profit. I'm not seeking my own way, Paul says. Number six, and this is fairly close in line with that. Forbearance is the ability to respond lovingly to the immaturity of others without lowering yourself to their standard of immaturity. Forbearance is the ability to respond lovingly to the immaturity of others. And when I say immaturity, I'm talking about the spiritual immaturity, which obviously comes out in behavior and words and thoughts and actions and all those kinds of things. But the ability to forbear, to put up with, to tolerate, is the ability to respond lovingly to immaturity. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, Paul says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now the phrase that I want to get in there is what Paul says, that we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. That could be translated from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And the idea, what Paul is communicating there, is you could say it this way, from one degree of spiritual maturity to another degree of spiritual maturity. And the I don't know if I want to say the emphasis, but what we come out of that with is the reality that we are not all at the same degree of spiritual maturity. We're not. And if we expect everybody to be on the same level or degree of spiritual maturity that we are, we set ourselves up for a great disappointment. And if we expect everybody to fall into and to be transformed into the same degree of spiritual maturity that we are overnight, we set ourselves up for disappointment as well. One of the quotes that I remember from John Newton that was just such a helpful quote at the time whenever I was reading about him and his life was something along the lines of, one of his biographers were talking about just how patient he was, and one of the comments they made as he was laboring with, I think it was a pastor that was in the next town over, was, "Look, it took me 20 years to come to this point. Why should I expect that in a couple of sermons that you would be where I am, right? It took me 20 years to get here. Why would I think that you would get here overnight?" There's a lot of humility in that statement. A lot of humility just in the sense of, look, I haven't had it all together, and I still don't have it all together, and I want to be as patient with you as I want God to be with me, and as I hope everybody was with me as the Lord was maturing me. So what does it mean to be able to love people who are at different degrees of spiritual maturity? Well, obviously forbearance is one of those things we can tolerate, but it's not just tolerating from afar off. One of the things that we mentioned earlier, maybe on Sunday, whenever it came to those four characteristics, was you don't need those characteristics if you're living and if your relationship is some sort of a distant relationship with somebody. I mean, you don't need patience, and you don't need gentleness, and you don't need to put up with anything, and you don't need humility if all we have is a superficial relationship. These things assume that you're involved in a close relationship with somebody. And so what does forbearance look like? Well, when we're talking about immaturity, a lot of times it looks like truth in love. Now, it takes wisdom to know when to say what. It takes wisdom to know how to say whatever it is that needs to be said. It takes wisdom not to get on the same hobby horse with the same person every time and beat them with the areas that they need to mature in. But one of the things that will help us with that, again, is just to recognize that while we're all at different maturity levels, we as individuals, me and you, if we have a high esteem of where we think we are probably most surely not at the level of maturity that we imagine ourselves to be at. The truth is, the thing that can be so difficult with this is that you're at different levels of maturity in different areas of your life. So there may be some areas in my life where I'm a little further than others, and whatever my strengths are may be your weakness, and it may be the other. So it's not a standard where we've arrived somewhere. And part of being forbearing is being able to put up with and acknowledge and realize we're not in the same place. We're not at the same level. All right, number 7, and this will be our last one for tonight. Forbearance is the ability to demonstrate biblical love to other believers even when they are struggling with sin. Forbearance is the ability to demonstrate biblical love to other believers even when they are struggling with sin. Look in Luke chapter 9. Starting in verse 43, Jesus is with his disciples. It says, And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all these things which Jesus did, he, that being Jesus, said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, and so forth and so on. You know the rest of the story. So there, Jesus is foretelling his death. The disciples completely miss it. And then they start arguing about who's going to be the greatest among them. And what does Jesus do? Well, he takes that opportunity to, again, patiently teach, patiently correct, in a loving way. Now notice, as we're talking about this, and we said this earlier, there are some times where forbearance is related to an issue of sin. It can be, I don't want to say tricky in the sense of you can't nail it down, but it can be maybe feel overwhelming at times to know, how long do I forbear with this? When can I forbear with this? But the reality is, as Christians, one of the things that we ought to realize and keep on the forefront of our minds is that God is forbearing with us in our sin every single day. There's not a minute of the day that goes by where God's tolerance of your sin is not being exercised. That being said, that's not an invitation to do away with church discipline and to put up with any and every sin. And so, what are some of the areas in which we should be forbearing? There may be more than this, but I'm going to give 3. Number 1, we should be forbearing when a person is aware of their sin and they are working on correcting the problem. A person becomes aware of their sin and they are working toward repentance. The reality is change is hard. Repentance is hard. It's not an overnight thing. And when somebody has a sin that has dominated their life, and the Lord opens their eyes to that, they're convicted by that, and they are working on correcting that, then we can tolerate that. We can be forbearing with that person. But that's difficult, isn't it? Just in reality, it is. because we're not as patient as we like to think we are. I'm not as patient as I would like to think I am. One of the things that Brother Isaac and I, as we've tried to think about, not necessarily in this context, but this is what it is we try to think about how long would we labor with somebody, and when do you know it's enough? And one of the things that we've tried to do is say that we will labor with somebody as long as they are trying. We'll labor with somebody as long as they're trying. Well, that sounds good, but it's not always easy to know that somebody's trying. It's not because it's not always a full force of effort. And sometimes there's effort and days where there's not, so forth, so on. And it is so tempting to just say, I'm done. I've tried for 24 whole hours with you, and I'm done. It only takes getting burned or feeling like you've gotten burned, you know, one time to go from at least a desire to be forbearing to just, I'm done. I'm done with this. And in a church with other believers, the truth is we are going to burn each other time and time again, especially in these little quirky issues we're talking about where forbearance is necessary. I'm going to burn you, and you're going to burn me. And some of the ways that we're going to get burnt is through sinning against one another. And so the question is not, will you have to endure the scenario where somebody in this church sins against you? That's not the question, because the answer to that is yes. You will be sinned against if you stay here very long. The question is, how are you going to respond when you're sinned against? How are you going to respond? So when a person's working on their sin, number two, when a person is a new convert, and that would fit probably in number one, but when a person is first brought to the Lord, when the Lord first opens up someone's eyes, they're a new convert, then we should be able to be forbearing. We could understand that. And we can walk with a person like that. And then number three, look in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now there's a category here of those who are feeble-minded, and there are some who may go in and out of the state of what this would describe as feeble-minded. But then there are others who may not. They may be a feeble-minded person. And when I say feeble-minded person, I'm talking about someone who is genuinely feeble-minded. For example, one of these days, when David gets older, he will fall into that category, more than likely. He will do things and not understand things that a typical person would understand or not understand. I am hoping that whenever he's older, we can teach him not to loudly pass gas during prayer. But that may not happen. It may not. And we will have to be forbearing there. I'm hoping that we'll be able to teach him, and I think this is likely, what is appropriate and inappropriate to say to somebody, even in the extent of being saying something that might be sinful. But if he doesn't, it is appropriate to be forbearing. It's appropriate to be forbearing. You think of other examples like Anne Marie and other examples like that. So forbearing one another in love. That may seem like a made up type thing, We were at a church not too long ago, and there was a family who had a son, and he had some special needs, and one of the things that he struggled with was just kind of controlling himself, and he would make some strange noises, muttered kind of under his breath, and there were There was a family that sat close by, and after a couple of weeks of that, they went up to the parents and said, could you please control your son's noises? We cannot pay attention. We can't focus in on the service. Well, that family left and they didn't come back. That was one of those areas where a little wisdom might tell you to just get up and move somewhere else, right? Go somewhere else. So if it's me, you know, if you're sitting in front of me and you hear me making some weird muddled noises, then turn around and tell me to hush. You're trying to listen, okay? That's appropriate. But when we're talking about the feeble-minded, that's not. And so you understand what I'm saying there. So again, forbearance, forbearing one another in love. We will look at this out of Romans 14 on Sunday, and hopefully the Lord will open that passage up for us.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.